Okay, I'm going to explain how to successfully transition to a Lite Phone 2 from a smartphone. And there's a lot of videos if you're looking at YouTube and watching YouTube and trying to get an idea of like should you buy this thing or should you not? There's a lot of people who've used it and expressed things that they like, but also frustrations. And a lot of people will try the phone for a short period of time. Like they'll try it for a week or a month. And usually, like, that's about it. And then they go back to a smartphone. So I'm going to explain how to switch to it and to stay using a Lite phone. And I'm just saying Lite phone because in the US market, we just don't have options when it comes to dumb phones. And the Lite phone 2, despite its flaws, is currently the best option for a dumb phone experience. It really is a phone that's sort of in its own category because it does have some applications such as like notes. There's a calendar that actually will sync with your iCloud calendar. Different types of calendars. There's a few things. I'm not going to talk about all the features, but there's not many. It's a very simple phone. So, I'll probably make a video about functionality, and there's plenty of videos out there to show you like what the phone is exactly, but assuming you know that there's a phone that exists that's an e-ink display that is very simple. And if you don't know what that is even, just assume I'm talking about a dumb phone that doesn't have a web browser, that does not have any social media applications, and there's no video, and this particular device doesn't even have a camera. So just know that. I guess that's the best context for this. So switching to a phone like that, and I was just briefly saying, like in the US, we don't have a lot of options. In Europe, they do have phones like the Nokia 105, which is a proper dumb phone. They have a couple others to choose from that don't actually have web browsers and social media applications, some of which have cameras and flashlights, even. So, but they have their own quirks and frustrations. But the point is, let's just talk about generally like switching to a dumb phone. And I am categorizing a dumb phone as a phone that does not have a web browser and does not have any applications, any social media applications. The only images that you would be able to see are people or images that people send like so if you can text multimedia messages, that's still a dumb phone. But if you can browse images and browse videos and browse news, things like that, then it's smartphone category. So here it is. I'm starting here with a little bit of context. In order to switch to a dumb phone full time, if you've been using a smartphone for a while and you're used to having a smartphone, the first step for me was admitting that I had a problem. And as maybe somewhat cheesy as that might sound, it actually is a very important step. So for me, previously I had been using iPhone and I had set up screen time with a passcode and I had an application that I could put the passcode in that would lock the passcode for 30 days. And so I was able to use that for quite a while successfully on an iPhone to have a generally like good balanced experience. But unfortunately, the iPhone, like that screen time, basically I discovered a flaw that I can just get around the screen time anytime I want to. And so that was no longer an option for me. And the reason I say that, you know, admitting you have a problem is because I personally think that smartphones are generally addictive, but I think that people, not everyone has the same level of addiction, or the same type of addictions. And I'm not a professional, so I can't say that, you know, whether something's truly an addiction or not. But like for me, having a smartphone with no way to limit myself, like, and I mean like hard limits, like things that I cannot do on the phone, which no smartphones have these type of limits. Like you can always get around limits. Like screen time and these sort of things are essentially just like a way of telling you how much time you're wasting, but there's not a foolproof way to just stop you from using an application. And there's even like apps in the App Store. Look, I've looked into this, like methods, and they're all easy to get around, unfortunately. Because the operating systems themselves don't really have a vested interest in blocking you from using their phones. Just like social media apps have no vested interest in stopping you from browsing social media, right? They make money the more time you use a device, or the more time that you view their website or their app, the more money they're going to make. And so, you know, there's no vested interest in stopping you from that, or to give you a balanced, healthy life. And I had to really admit that this was a problem for me because, like, for me, life with a smartphone means I'm going to go to sleep later than I should. You know, I'm going to be watching videos in bed and just like, I'm going to be browsing much more than I, just spending time using the phone when I should be doing things like sleeping or just doing other like general productive life stuff. You know, like just general stuff. You know, I would realize that I was on, you know, on the phone, and you know, more time had gone by than I realized, more often than I would like. And so I personally, like some people would say, well, it's just about having self-discipline, right? And just find a balance. Like those type of comments. But my internal realization of admitting I have a problem, this sort of like context that I'm using, is that you wouldn't tell an alcoholic to, oh, just have one beer. You know, it's not a big deal. You have one beer, you know, it's social setting, it's not a problem, you know? Like, we think of that socially as like, if you were to tell an alcoholic that, you're a bad person, you know? Like, that's a horrible thing to do. And, or maybe you're one of those people you just don't realize how alcoholism works. Or like a drug addiction or something, you know, where it's like assuming that the person is just able to regulate that behavior by themselves by having a little bit of something is just not a realistic, it's just not realistic for success. And it's just because for some people, you know, like I didn't get that gene for whatever reason, but I know that there are some people who have a drink, like one drink, and then it's just off to the races, and they just, you know, it affects their life negatively, and it's a problem. They have a problem, you know. And there's plenty of other types of addiction, but for whatever reason, society has not caught up to the idea that some people are generally addicted to their smartphones. And I personally think that a lot of people are, it's just either they have the benefits that they're getting from having a phone, or it's just that there's like pressure from their work environments or social environments to like keep a phone. So even if they have a problem, they feel, they're concerned about missing out and all these things, and maybe they feel pressure from their work. There's certain applications that, or certain, I say applications, but there's certain apps that only work on a smartphone. Like there's certain delivery apps, for example, if you want to get food delivered, that only work on a smartphone. You can't even use the computer to order food. You have to have it, So there's plenty of reasons that people to justify having a smartphone. There's obvious, countless convenience from having a smartphone. I don't think I have to list anything because it's like countless. You can pretty much do anything on a smartphone. But I do think it's a problem for much more people than we are admitting as a society, but also people are not admitting to themselves because it just has become the norm, which is still sort of surprising to me because it definitely was not normal. Like you used to be considered like a super nerd if you had like a personal data assistant, like a PDA, like a Palm, or you were like just a business person or someone who really need to be hyper connected. It was not the norm to have a cell phone or a smartphone for very long, for most of human existence up until like the last like 10 years, basically. I'm just saying I think the problem is bigger than just me. I feel like I know that. I can't, prove that, but I just think it's a thing. But for me, I had to own that it was a problem for me because smartphones have become so ubiquitous, and pretty much everyone has one. If you choose not to have a smartphone, it becomes a conversation that you almost have to have with people that you interact with because maybe they want to just, like, they just assume that you have certain applications. For example, it's like, well, just get an Uber and let's go over here or something like that. Like, actually, one of the fun things that I found out is I can actually still use Uber with a dumb phone. They have a phone number that you can call to schedule a ride, which is fantastic. But these are things like I didn't know right away, and I'm still going to discover. But there are certain applications that I just don't have access to. So it's, and I also like, I can't take a picture and message it to someone because my particular dumb phone does not have a camera. So, the point is like it comes up in conversation with anybody that you're around, generally speaking, because that you're interacting with on a personal level because people spend time on their phones and you pull out your phone or whatever. It just is something that comes up. And most people, I would say, probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but by far, most people are just super excited to see that you have a different type of phone. Like, oh, you have a dumb phone, and it's a conversational thing. I found that it's a great way to meet people because it's just an easy conversation. And most people are like, oh, I wish I could do that. I want to do that. Like, I wish I could get rid of my smartphone if it wasn't for my work, or if I wish I could do this, and like, oh, that seems like so healthy, blah, blah, blah. Like a lot of positive feedback, generally speaking. But there are some interactions that are rare, but they do happen where you run into people who do not understand. And they give you that sort of judgment of like, just have, like, what are you, some weird person? Like, don't be ridiculous. Don't be a child. Like, don't be, just have a smartphone like a normal person, you know, like that kind of attitude and energy. And so if you are like me and, or how to say this, if you're not, or if I was not fully sort of surrendered, if you will, to the idea that I'm addicted to smartphones and in certain aspects of the internet as well, but definitely smartphones, which is encompasses those things. If I wasn't comfortable with that, then when I interact with these people, I might think, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe I should just get a smartphone and, just try to have a balance. You know, I try to put the smartphone in the other room at the end of the night, try to put the smartphone in the drawer at certain times. You know, it's like maybe leave the smartphone at the house at certain times. Like all these little games that people try to play to try to establish some sort of balance. But I know for myself that smartphones are so amazing and so, like gloriously entertaining and convenient and all, all these things that I know for myself that I can't consistently over time maintain those boundaries. For myself, I know that to be true. And this is not, to me, this is not a crazy concept also because I know, like, I'm pretty sure I remember hearing that Steve Jobs wouldn't even let his kids have iPads, for example. Because he knew that what he created was so addictive. You know, this is like I'm just pulling from memory. This is all entertainment purposes, you know, but like I remember hearing something like that. And so it's it's those types of things that I are also just helpful to keep in mind. Like, it didn't used to always be this way, and also these devices are just very addictive devices, in my opinion. So I don't think most people are strong-willed enough to maintain a healthy balance with their phones. I think most people have a unbelievably unhealthy relationship with their phones. You know, like walking down the street, even like the amount of times like people are bouncing into each other, you know, driving to a certain extent is also like maybe less safe because people are on their phones, even though you're not supposed to be. Just people at dinner on their phones, people around other people supposedly needing to interact with other people, but they're also just on their phones. It's just like the phone is like constantly there. It's like this constant presence. It's such a personal device, you know, the handheld. It's like, the personal computer was spread like wildfire, and then this personal cell phone has like done the same thing, like even more, it seems like. So the reason it's important to admit it to myself is so that when I encounter these people, I don't have to convince them that actually this is a problem for me. And no, I don't want to play that game of trying to have balance with it because I know ultimately I'll lose. I don't, they can keep their opinion, but I understand the addictive nature of these devices, and I understand my personal relationship with them, and I understand that not having them changes my lifestyle. You know, it changes how I don't want to always say productivity, but just slowing down, not feeling as overwhelmed, not feeling as stressed. Like for me, there's a certain level of like physical stress that I was feeling from the phone, like from my time, not from the phone, but from my time with like spending on the phone, looking at a screen. Because especially like, you know, if I'm working and I'm on a computer looking at a screen, and then when I get away from the computer and then I start looking at another screen, I'm basically on a screen, you know, just all day. Because then it's like if I want to relax and watch a movie or something, now I'm looking at a screen again. And I personally felt like it was becoming almost like a physical pain of just literally looking at a screen too, way too much. Screens, plural. So that's step one. Because without that, then like I could just easily go. I mean, you know, it's like there's a smartphone store in like every corner, you know, if you live in like any type of city. You know, and if you just, even if you live in a small town, it's smartphones as, you know, down the street, you can go down to and get a, you know, there's at least one or two stores you can get a cell phone very easily. And if you do have a computer, you can order one. So, you know, they're readily accessible to purchase, and they're also very cheap. The smartphone industry is so mature that you can get a device for less than $200. It's actually like an incredible smartphone. Does basically everything that the, you know, the $1,000 ones do. It's also insane that a smartphone costs $1,000. I think that's insane. Personally, I think it's actually sick. But people are happy to do it, whatever. I understand. Especially if you're into, you know, photography, or maybe you're using it for creating videos. I understand that there's plenty of utility in a smartphone. I'm not judging that. I still see people on smartphones, and I'm in awe of the smartphone. So it's just not like smartphones are bad. It's just, I actually think they're incredible. I think they're amazing. I think the screens on them are amazing. I think the cameras on them are amazing. I think the videos that they can do, the applications are, like, I think they're incredible devices. But I know, for me, the cost for me personally of purchasing another smartphone is too high. I know that there's a stress associated and a sort of like perceived physical pain that's associated with having a smartphone, right? I know, like, because it would start off as something like, oh, you know, I really need access to this one application. Like right now, for example, I'm traveling and I don't have access to WhatsApp, because WhatsApp requires a phone. Even though they have a web version, in order to use that, you have to sync it with your phone. In order to do that, they have a QR code and you have to take a picture with your phone. It just made it where it's like really, like they really, really, really want you to just use the iPhone or Android app. So traveling, it's like, well, you know, there's been instances where initially I thought I needed a WhatsApp. So there was initial like frustration and also fear about needing it. But then actually, like, I found ways I found that I didn't need it, basically, long story short. Because I could easily buy just a dumb phone while traveling. Nokia 105, I recommend it. And just message people with a local number. It's fine, you know? It's like, and then my Lite phone actually receives text messages whenever I connect it to Wi-Fi, even though I'm traveling. Anyways, so this, my point is, like, I would initially want to get a smartphone because of like one or two applications that like I really would like to have access to. But after I got the benefit of those, then it's like, what's next? And then it's just, you know, watching the YouTube all day, and then it's just, you know, we can watch movies on the thing. It's like play games, whatever. It's just, I would go down that rabbit hole and I would just end up being on it too much. So that's the first key. And I think without that, most people will probably just go, if they try the light phone, I think they'll just go, kind of go back to a smartphone because they just don't perceive that they actually have a problem, you know? So until you get to that point where it's like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I can't do the smartphone anymore. I can't do it anymore. It's too much. It's taking too much of my time. It's like I'm on screens way too much. You know, and so this is going to be different for different people. It's like some people, I can imagine, like if you work a job and you don't look at a screen at all during the day, then, you know, having access to a smartphone at certain times, like might be more of a general balance for you, right? Like if you just have, you're just going to have less screen time generally because the majority of your day is doing something without a screen. So, you know, these are things that are different for different people. But I think the people with the most success, like people, I think look at things like the smartphone because they already do have a, like they do feel like that the smartphone is too much. They do feel the stress of it. They do feel like they need to escape this, like smartphones becoming ever consuming. But it might take some time to understand for yourself that, like, whether you really have a problem. You know, like we can finally admit to yourself that, like, this is actually something that doesn't work for me. You know, smartphones, like, are just too much. And that may be something that happens over time. So from my ex personal experience, I actually purchased a light phone maybe 2 years ago-ish, 2, 3 years ago. And I initially liked it for, like, you know, the first week or so. Thought it was great, very cool. But at that point, it was a lot buggier than it is now. It still have some issues, but it was a lot worse back then, like a lot worse. I got frustrated with it, and then I got rid of it and went back to the smartphone. So, you know, it was kind of like, basically, I like dipped my toe into it. So I'm one of those kind of people that who could have made one of those videos in the past of like, oh, I tried a smartphone for a week, or I tried a dumb phone for a week, and I'm, you know, now I'm going back to my smartphone. You know, but then for me, you know, another 2 years goes by, and it's something that I just kept thinking about. You know, and I kept wondering, and I also kept seeing that they were updating the Lite phone, and you know, it was getting better and better, and some of the issues that I had with it. And my first go around, they had fixed or improved. So, and I also recognized at the same time that basically my screen time method, which was actually working for me for quite a long time with the iPhone, failed. You know, when that happened, it was like, oh, I really got a switch. I had understood at the, you know, I had understood by then that without the screen time feature, like I would be spending all that time on my phone and then being able to get around it in 2 seconds. I was. So that's step number one. Admitting there's a problem and being comfortable enough with that when the social pressure comes. Number two, the second part of this process is prepare for like what you will miss to try to fill in some of the gaps. So for example, the Lite Phone 2 does not have a camera. So I researched cameras. Personally, I have a really nice camera, but it's one of those like larger cameras, the DSLR cameras or whatever, where the lens and everything, the size of it, it's like you need two hands to operate it. It's a great camera, it takes great photos, but it's not something I can just put into my pocket and take with me anywhere. And so I wanted to have something to where if I wanted to go somewhere and take pictures, I could have a portable enough camera where I could take it with me. And so I did some research for this. One of the coolest things that I found was that actually these old school digital cameras from like the early 2000s are becoming very popular. And it also means they're becoming more and more expensive. But people are really getting enjoyment out of these cameras because they're small, they're compact, but they also are like that single use. It's like the lack of convenience with those older cameras is actually part of the charm. And I think those early, and they also produce images that are interesting. They're different. Because with everybody having iPhones now, or Android devices, all the pictures basically look the same. So having an older phone, digital camera gives you some interesting results. It's like a little artistic expression, if you will. Just get a little extra charm, just something different. It's fun. It's fun. It's interesting. And also, it's another like social thing. If you pull out a old school camera and like one of these point and shoot cameras, and it's a social thing. People get excited. Everybody knows that it's a camera and the purpose is to take pictures. Whereas opposed to the phone is just multi-use, it's a different experience. So it was very cool to see that that's actually kind of gaining popularity. I was very encouraged by that. And I did enough research. I found one that I thought worked for me. And I also recognized like I had another camera already that was much smaller and compact that I could take with me and that I could use, and it was fine. So basically, long story short, I actually already had one. I just hadn't used it, one of these kind of things. And that's part of the thing. It's like having a phone without a camera. If you already purchased a camera for the purpose of taking pictures or video, then you'll use those devices more, right? You'll actually get use out of them. So you might actually already have a camera. The other thing is like GPS, for example. So far, I have not needed GPS. Personally, I just look up directions ahead of time on my computer. I'll take some notes, put them into the light phone, so I know like what the street names are. Like if this is the street name, I know to, from wherever I know where to get to. Like here's the street name, and then I need to take a right on this street name, and then. On the computer, you can do that little this thing where you can basically like walk around using like either get Google Maps or Apple Maps, and you can actually see what the environment looks like before you go. So I've been doing that, and I haven't gotten lost really at all. I just knocked on wood. There's one time where I got sort of like. Not lost, but I went a different way and I wasn't exactly sure how that connected back to the road that I needed to get on. But I knew the general direction, took my time, and I was able to find my way just fine. And also discover places that I didn't know existed, also learning street names. There's actually other benefits that come from like actually having to navigate. But the point is, what I will probably end up doing is purchasing a Garmin, like a dedicated GPS system for my car, so that if I do need to take longer trips, or if I do need to take trips from places that I really don't know where I'm going or it's farther away, then I will have that to fill in that gap from something that was on the phone. Now, the Lite phone does have a direction tool. I don't have enough experiences with it yet. I don't fully trust it. I don't know. I haven't used it yet. It's not quite a total fair assessment because I've been traveling. So, you know, I have to have more time to see if that direction tool that's on there is actually useful or not. I don't have a lot of faith in it personally. So I'm just saying Garmin is another thing that I probably will buy. In terms of like MP3 player or music, you know, yes, there used to be MP3 players before Spotify and all these streaming apps, which are apparently screwing over artists and not really getting paid very well. So I personally still buy albums. I'll buy albums through iTunes. You can actually still buy albums. It's kind of makes it hard to figure out how to do that, but it is very possible. And I also have the ability to like purchase. If I purchase a CD, I have a Windows XP computer, which I can rip the CD to the computer's hard drive, and I could transfer it that way if I needed to. But basically, I download the music via iTunes, and then I could just actually put it onto the Lite phone. It's actually quite simple. Not as convenient as like an iPod. I may end up purchasing a old school iPod, which I think is a cool thing. But actually, so far, the Lite phone's music player has been fine. It's been totally fine. It works great. Great quality. Still has Bluetooth. I can still use my AirPods. It's fine. But these are the type of things of like, okay, if I'm going to, like, let me be realistic about what are the things that I'm going to lose from having a smartphone. And let me fill in some of those gaps as much as possible to reduce the amount of pain and friction of that initial transition period. Not just the initial transition period, but having a realistic idea of what I need. Part of this journey also for me was that because I sold the smartphone, I no longer needed my Apple Watch. So I sold my Apple Watch. And I discovered having a watch is actually a very useful thing. So I went watch shopping. And it's a fun little rabbit hole. There are plenty of stores, at least in this area, that sell watches. And so it's been great to look at watches and to understand what the different features of watches are. These sort of old school or analog watches, not necessarily old school, just watches that have the, you know, the second hand and the minute hand and the hour hand, are quite fascinating. It's definitely like it's a fun thing actually, because there's so many of them and they're all slightly different, whether it's the looks or the functionality. And so it's been fun rabbit hole to go down. So I purchased a watch. It just says the time is all it shows me. It's that hour, minute, second. That's it. I realized it was actually nice to have the day of the week and the date also on my watch. And so that was a whole nother rabbit hole. Long story short, digital watches, watches with a digital display. For example, Casio makes a bunch of them. They're actually bringing back a bunch of like classic Casio watch styles. And these digital watches tell you everything you need. It can tell you the date, you know, the month, date, year. And they're actually extremely affordable. What I learned on the analog side, if you get one of those old, you know, mechanical watches, I guess you should say, if you're going to want to have a calendar on those watches, there's two types. There's one that's called an annual calendar, and there's one that's called a perpetual calendar. Sorry, perpetual calendar. What I learned is that for mechanical watches, Those two type of watches, the annual calendar, basically you have to reset the date once a year, but it's smart enough to know which months are 30 days or whatever. I don't know if it can handle leap year on annual calendar watches, but perpetual calendar watches can handle leap years. It's smart enough to know which months, are 31 days, which ones are 28. Basically, you'll never get the wrong date, day or day of the week wrong on your mechanical watch for many, many years. Like, they usually last for like 100 years or so before they would go out of time. And those watches are very expensive. Like $25,000 expensive. There are some that are cheaper. But like the lower end, it's like $1,600. So part of just the fascinating thing of understanding like these differences of watches, but the point being, I have a nice mechanical watch that I really like the look of, that just tells me the time. But honestly, I think mostly I will be using a Casio watch because it can tell me the day of the week and the date and be accurate all year long. I don't, for years on end, I don't have to worry about it. So, and those are very affordable, like $50 or less versus, 2,000 or 20,000 or more for mechanical watches. So essentially step two is just evaluating like what are the things that I need. I figured out like for me the music, like in order to get the music player working on the light phone, I need to be able to have MP3s. So I had already had a solution in place. But if you don't have that and you're used to Spotify and you're used to streaming apps, like you're gonna have to prepare for that, right? Like, and it's either like an iPod or some sort of MP3 player, or like I do, which is just purchase the MP3s. You can get them off Amazon Music, you can get them off iTunes, download them to your computer. Then you have to go into the Light Phone dashboard, which is a web browser interface. And then you upload the music through there, and then it ends up on your Light Phone. It's a process. Like, and this leads me to, I think this is the third thing, right? The last step into really having a successful experience long term with a dumb phone or a phone like the Light Phone, which is a little smarter than the, not quite just dumb, but it's much more intentional. This is to expect frustration. If you're, smartphones are such a mature device, just meaning that they've been around for so long that they've been refined to such a point that everything works really well on any smartphone, really. Even if you got a cheap smartphone, like you go in the store and get the cheapest one, generally everything's going to work extremely well because the operating system has been refined for many, many years by billion-dollar companies. And they're incredible staff and just years of experience and all of that's coming together. Hardware iterations over generations and generations and generations. And there's very little frustration on a smartphone. It's like very little. Switching to a phone like the Light Phone, which it's like if you expect it to be a smooth experience, and you expect everything to work smoothly and seamlessly, like you are going to be upset, frustrated, right? And if you don't expect the frustration, then you're going to want to run back to the smartphone, right? It's like you have to expect that it's not going to work anywhere near as well as the phones that you're used to using. It's going to be slow. It's going to be buggy. It's going to be just like, for example, even though I was in for the frustration, I was like preparing for there to be frustration. I was still frustrated with the light phone because just the general user interface, like sometimes you swipe, like if you're swiping on the home screen to get through the menu options, it's supposed to give you like a little, like a, almost like a haptic feedback, like a little buzz, you know, to let you know that you swiped. And sometimes it would buzz, but the screen wouldn't swipe, right? Or sometimes the screen would swipe, but it didn't buzz. Like it is an imperfect experience. I still think it needs a lot of improvement, generally speaking, when it comes to just like the way that the ink display refreshes. I think that it has an issue where it just, I don't know, there's a couple issues. I'm going to go along into like a video form with that to show some of the just navigation issues, generally speaking. So it's like sometimes you swipe or you click on something. I say click, but you tap on a menu item and then the screen will try to refresh. And sometimes it doesn't refresh to the new screen that you clicked on. So it looks like you're on the old screen when you're actually on the new screen. So you have, you know, basically you have to use the volume up and volume down buttons to force the screen to refresh to see where you actually are. I saw one comment that just said, like, if you slow down and use the phone slower, that happens less often. I think that's somewhat true. But I basically am saying that, like, the light phone in particular is really a worse experience just from the accuracy of how the screen refreshes. It's a worse experience at this moment than it is on a typical e-ink tablet. Like if you had a Kindle or you had like some sort of e-ink reader, the light phone is just not perfect. And that's frustrating. Like it is. So there's the frustration of the operating system itself and navigating the phone, but there's also the frustration in life, right? Where sometimes you don't know exactly where you're going, like, which initially is frustrating, but what I've found is, for me, it forces me to interact with other people. So, like, someone wrote down the name of a couple stores for me on like a little sticky note and pointed me in the general direction of like where these places were because I needed to purchase something. And that was just such a cool experience because it's something small, but it's sort of unusual in this day and age because people are just used to like looking in their phones and I had to ask someone else, you know, but that actually created a fun interaction. And then on the way to one of the locations, they wrote down two like locations. I found the first one and then it didn't have what I was looking for, but it was a fun experience walking around. And then before I went to the second location, I couldn't find the second location. So there's that like frustration, like, ugh, right? But I did pass by this like little lunch spot, which was the menu looked amazing. So I just happened to go in there, and it's a place I wouldn't have found if I wasn't just like struggling to find out where I was going. I had an incredible lunch, and the person serving me saw the little sticky note, and then we had a little conversation about that. And then I asked them about the second place I couldn't find, and they explained that it used to be there, but it moved somewhere else. So there's plenty of moments like that where there's an initial frustration, but many of these initial frustrations actually end up in a positive result. Some of them will not. Some of them will just be purely frustration. But some of them will be actually like little happy things that you find out through the process. Interactions that you wouldn't otherwise had. Like for me, it's the part of the frustration too is that there's an emotional component. Having a smartphone is like much like having a blankie. Like if you were a kid and you had like your little blank, you needed your little blankie, otherwise, that kept you feeling safe, or your little like teddy bear or something, right? Something you like needed to have or felt like you needed to have around you. And if you didn't have it around, you didn't feel secure, you didn't feel safe, you felt vulnerable, exposed, like you felt emotionally, almost like emotionally unsafe. And like that feeling, I think the smartphone is actually very much that. Like it's a large part of it is like everybody gets to carry their little blankie around. And so when you don't have your blankie, emotions come up. And when I say blankie, I think a better way to look at it is like, or more accurate way, although the blankie is pretty accurate, is that whenever you're in real life, you have an uncomfortable situation, an uncomfortable experience, an uncomfortable interaction. Sometimes it's just maybe boredom, as well. But usually it's like something happens, like there's some negative experience that you have in life, small or big. And what the smartphone actually does is maybe like, it wasn't necessarily like intentionally designed this way, but it's like what it has become in a lot of ways is it is a emotional like crutch, I guess you could say. Like it's a distraction, really. I mean, it's like part of the phone being a distraction is that it distracts you from uncomfortable feelings, uncomfortable emotions. Easily, like if I'm having some uncomfortable emotion in my life, whatever it may be, I could just pull out my phone and look up a video or something, like I get lost in a YouTube video or whatever, scrolling on social media, yada yada, like, and then now I'm distracted from that emotional uncomfortableness or emotional pain or emotional feelings. And so having that 24/7, then whether it's like you wake up, you can't sleep for some reason, or you whatever it is. By the way, I'm sleeping so well without my smartphone. So well. So well. But you have that, and what it means is that when you do not have that, I'll just call it the blankie, with you actually have to feel those feelings. And actually there's times where it feels like the stuff comes up, because it's also when you've been distracted from these emotions for so long. You've been stuffing them away or just like ignoring them for such a long period of time. You're used to doing that. The muscle for dealing with uncomfortable emotions and maybe social situations and things like sort of atrophies. And I think it's generally done that in society in a lot of ways. So But certainly, just like on a personal level, it can feel really uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, because you actually have to feel those emotions. You actually have to feel the frustration. You actually have to feel the uncomfortableness of whatever that is. And whatever this conflict or perceived conflict, whether it's internal or external, you feel it. And you don't have something to run away to, something to distract you as easily from it. And so for me, because what I also did through this at the same time was I basically largely cut off my ability to just watch TV or YouTube and things like that, so I have limited access on a computer, but it's I don't have that to distract myself either. So I'm kind of like, you could, I guess what you might end up finding is you might end up start watching a lot of TV shows. It's like you watch the show Friends because you don't have any friends, and you feel like you have friends because it's the show Friends. And so you could, I'm not saying that's bad. It's just like you might distract yourself in other ways. But for me, I'm trying not to do that. So for me, I had to deal with some uncomfortableness, and I'm having to deal with uncomfortableness that's it's just not super easy to deal with. I'm forcing myself to sit through and deal with. And at times, it's like building a muscle that's just been atrophied. If you ever watch the movie Kill Bill, it's like trying to wiggle your pinky toe. It's just getting yourself used to using a muscle that hasn't been used in a long time, or has just sort of gotten weak or atrophied. And initially, it's difficult. And so, but I believe it does become easier, but I also do think that it's just to have the realistic expectation is that when you take away a device that's been so distracting that you've been using for so many hours every single day, then and you don't have that anymore. Whatever's inside of you is going to come up, but also the interactions that you have that you just been using the device to distract yourself from are also going to come up. So, it would be cool if there was therapists who kind of understand the process and kind of walk you through that. I don't know those people, but I'm sure, I hope they exist. So I think that's the three steps. I find myself if I go to eat, I'm just if I go by myself, for example, I'm just sitting there. I'm not I don't have anything to look at. I what I could do is read a book, and I think that was the one other thing for step two was that I got a physical book. I have a couple physical books. A few, actually. But I also have recently discovered an e-ink tablet that I'm really excited to purchase. It's an older one because I wanted one that doesn't connect to the internet and doesn't have a web browser, because unfortunately most of these modern e-ink reader tablets have web browsers on. It's like, why do you have a I don't understand why technology manufacturers have to put a web browser on everything. It's like it drives me nuts. But so that's another thing of filling in a gap. Oh, and the other thing that I purchased was a physical notebook. So I have a pen that I really love. I already kind of did the research on that years ago, and I picked up a notebook, paper notebook. That was $10 or something at a convenience store. I don't know what you call them exactly, but It's worked really well. It's been a really enjoyable experience to use it. And so I've been taking notes with that, writing things down. One of the things that I discovered with the Lite phone is that with the notes application, I can copy, and this is not advertised anywhere, but I think it's a cool little kind of hack, is that I can like copy all the text from something I wanted to read, like online or something, right? Copy just the text. And then the way the Lite phone works is that you have a dashboard in your web browser that you have access to your apps. So like there's like a notes app, for example. It's on your Lite phone, but it backs up the notes to the cloud, which you can access through the Lite phone dashboard in a web browser on your computer. So if you're on a computer, you copy text. You go to the Lite phone dashboard, you go into the notes application on the browser on your desktop. You can paste in text as a new note. So literally one of the things I could do is I could take the text from like a book or something. So for like there's a website that all of the books that you can read that are public domain or whatever you call them, you can get the text version of it. So like I could go and get The Wizard of Oz, copy all the text, create a note in the Lite phone dashboard, and then copy that text of the book into that note. So I can actually use the Lite phone as like a little mini e-reader. Now, is it as good as like a larger screen e-reader? Obviously not. It doesn't have built-in ability to like keep track of pages or even like where you are looking at the note. It's not really designed for it to be like a book e-reader. But I found it useful because there was a website that I really wanted to read. It was a great article and it was quite long. And so for me, it's quite long. But I copied that and pasted it in there. And I've been able, so then I was able to read the article on my Lite phone, and then, which is e-ink display. And then I had my physical notebook and I could take notes with that. And it's just been a fun experience. So like, so this past day I went to the little office space and I didn't even bring my computer. I was just using the Lite phone and I was using a physical notebook. And it was great. It was a really just enjoyable experience. And then if I wanted to listen to music, I could do that on the Lite phone as well, which is what I did. And so you know, there's new types of experiences that I'm exploring through this process. And I hope that, you know, it gets you realistic, I think, expectations, healthy expectations of how to switch from a smartphone to a device like the Lite phone. Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be other frustrations. Like, there's certain apps, like, I can't, there's, food delivery apps that only work on iOS or Android, and that means that I just have to go out and get food. So it's like there's an initial frustration because I can't have the immediate convenience, but actually, maybe I have to go to the grocery store, plan ahead, cook something. You know, it brings many long-term benefits with a lot of short-term frustration. So that's it. I think I'm going to stop it there. Hopefully that's helpful. If you do listen to this podcast on Apple Music, sorry, Apple Podcasts, I do really appreciate if you could drop a 5-star review there, say some kind words. If you listen to this on Spotify, you can click on the episode if you do use iOS or Android, and there's a little question that's asked. And you can respond to that question. And I see those as well. So, and I'm not gonna go too far into the future. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.